In another moment of weirdness, Purdue nuclear engineer Jerry Jenkins noticed an inexplicable drop in the decay rate of manganese 54 when he was testing it one night in 2006. It so happened that this drop occurred just over a day before a large flare erupted on the sun. The sun link was made even stronger when Peter Sturrock, Stanford Professor Emeritus of Applied Physics, suggested that the Purdue scientists look for other recurring patterns in decay rates. As an expert of the inner workings of the sun, Sturrock had a hunch that solar neutrinos might hold the key to this mystery. Sure enough, the researchers noticed the decay rates vary, repeatedly, every 33 days, a period of time that matches the rotational period of the core of the sun. These changes in solar activity not only seem to alter the flow of time, they also accelerate the amount of negative events happening, or what Chejevsky called human excitability. Would it also have a similar effect on the strength of our intuitive and psychic abilities? Dr. James Spottiswood studied 20 years worth of solid scientific research into anomalous cognition, where ordinary people were tested to see how psychic they were. After exploring 51 different studies conducted from 1976 to 1996, which added up to a total of 2,879 different individual trials, he found that solar activity had a clear and measurable influence on our psychic ability. In general, the more solar activity there was, the less effective we were in these anomalous cognition tests. Now, we have the strong suggestion that a burst of energy from the sun can slow down time. The Earth then rotates more slowly, though no one seems to understand why. This may also create stress in the human mind by disrupting the electrical activity in our synapses, the level of coherence in our minds. This shock to the brain could lead to an increase in violence, war, and unrest. When the sun was calm, only 20% of these human excitability events took place throughout the last 2,500 years. It may be that when the flow of time becomes smoother, the coherence increases. Our brainwaves mellow out, and everyone gets along better with each other. This smoothing out of our brainwave patterns may also help us go into deeper states of consciousness, thus increasing our performance on anomalous cognition tests. Human consciousness, changing the flow of time. If these cycles can push against us and change the way we behave, then can we also push back? If high solar activity makes the flow of time more choppy, creating disruptions that slow down time, and low solar activity makes the flow of time smoother, then can we affect the flow of time as well? If everyone on Earth was suddenly shocked by a negative event, would that cause a sudden flickering in the passage of time, disrupting coherence on a worldwide level? And, if enough of us meditate, could we smooth out the flow of time in a way that Schnoll would be able to concretely measure in his laboratory? This brings us to Dr. Roger Nelson's work with the Global Consciousness Project. Beginning in 1979, Dr. Robert Yahn started the Princeton Engineering Anomalies Research Laboratory to study whether sensitive electronic devices might be affected by special states of consciousness, including strong emotions and directed intention. Dr. Roger Nelson joined the team in 1980 and ultimately became the main force behind this research. Early along, Yahn and Nelson decided to see if the human mind could create any sort of measurable effect on a well-developed commercial source of electronic white noise. Schnoll was studying the flow of electricity as well as one of his physical reactions. So now we have two different groups looking at the same thing. Yahn and Nelson wanted to turn that electrical noise into numbers they could graph out and measure. That way, if a person could actually affect the flow of electricity in some way, They could prove it mathematically. They decided the best way to do this was to create a random number generator. This measures how smoothly electricity is flowing through a circuit. Any hiccups in the flow of electricity will create regular patterns in the numbers it generates. Once we see a pattern, the numbers aren't as random anymore. Of course, in conventional science, time isn't supposed to slow down and speed up as electricity moves along. However, if time did start slowing down and speeding up within a random electrical circuit, then the numbers would indeed begin developing patterns, which you could then measure and graph out. Schnoll was also looking for these exact sorts of patterns in physical, chemical, biological, and radioactive reactions, but he never expected to find effects that could be caused by the human mind. Over the years, Dr. Nelson used three different kinds of random number generators that are either based on thermal noise, the natural rise and fall of temperature within an electrical circuit, or electron tunneling, which is the flow of electrons through tiny pathways, such as what we find in a computer chip. The circuits were carefully shielded off so they could not be influenced by external electromagnetic fields or temperature changes. And he also ensured that the aging of the components could not be a factor either. According to Nelson, over more than a decade, this basic experiment yielded an enormous database, with a bottom line indicating a small but significant effect of human intention on these random data sequences. To put it plainly, Nelson found that ordinary people like you and me, particularly in larger groups, could actually change the numbers that came out of the computers and create patterns in chaos. As Nelson said in a 2008 paper, for example, we took the REG, random event generator, connected to a laptop or palm-top computer, to concerts, rituals, religious ceremonies, sporting events, board meetings, and various other events that might create a state of group consciousness. Over several years, we accumulated more than 100 data sets from resonant situations, and a smaller but substantial number of mundane locations, such as shopping centers, busy street corners, and academic meetings. In a nutshell, the largest or most reliable effects seem to involve ritual or some other influence that is designed to bring people to a shared state of mind. A global consciousness. In 1995, two different random number generators 12 miles apart showed a measurable change during the exact time that millions of people were watching the Academy Awards on television. Dr. Dean Radin found strong spikes at the most critical moments of the O.J. Simpson trial in 1997 across five different REGs in five separate locations, and this was one of the most highly watched events in television history. During Princess Diana's funeral in 1998, 12 different REGs in the United States and Europe also showed statistically significant departures from the normal levels at the most critical or poignant times. In late 1997, they began building a worldwide network that could run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to look for these patterns. All this data was transferred by the internet to a central location at Princeton University where it could be analyzed. By the year 2001, the Global Consciousness Project had expanded to the point where there were 37 computers around the world generating these numbers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Right as 9/11 started happening and the news began spreading across the world, they got results. We find that over a period of 3 months, one date is associated with a statistical anomaly, September 11th, 2001. On this date, the time range appearing most often among the 37 computers is 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., peaking around 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock a.m., and the location primarily the east coast of the USA. Indeed, The closer the computers were to New York, the stronger the effect. A score this high would only occur about once in a million seconds by random chance alone, which is roughly a 2-week period. According to Dr. Dean Radin in 2001, these effects are the most strikingly persuasive evidence I've seen so far that mass mind attention intention affects the physical world, perhaps because this event has also been the most horrific. Science is about prediction. You can't just sit there and wait for things to happen and then analyze them afterward. In this case, when a major event is coming up in the world, you write down what you expect will happen in advance and then see if your prediction comes true. As of 2008, Nelson reported that they had picked out over 250 rigorously vetted pre-specified events ahead of time, so they could indeed predict whether something might happen. Rather than just looking for spikes in the data like 9/11 and analyzing them afterward. These 250 events included tragedies and celebrations, natural and human-caused disasters, and planned and spontaneous gatherings of great numbers. In each of these 250 cases, a noticeable worldwide effect occurred, creating what they called moments of global consciousness. The odds that all 250 of these events could have been caused by something other than our collective consciousness were calculated at 10 million to 1. Let's go back to September 11, 2001, the most striking effect they had ever observed at the time. If 37 different computers all over the world recorded a noticeable change that peaked between 9 and 10 a.m., then that implies that every power line, every electrical circuit worldwide was experiencing a hiccup during this time, somehow caused by our global unrest. Now we're right back to Schnoll's effects again, except that this time we are causing the same things to happen by our own collective consciousness. If the combined power of our thoughts can create measurable effects in random number generators all over the world, creating flickers in the flow of electricity, what about the Earth's magnetic field? Geologist Greg Braden revealed these effects in his book, Fractal Time. In September 2001, two geosynchronous operational environmental satellites, GOES, orbiting the Earth, detected a rise in the magnetic field of the Earth that forever changed the way scientists view our world and us. The GOES-8 and GOES-10 each showed a powerful spike of the Earth's magnetic field strength that topped out at nearly 50 units, nanoteslas, higher than any that had been typical for the same time previously. The time was 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 15 minutes after the first plane hit the World Trade Center and about 15 minutes before the second impact. The correlation between the events and the readings was undeniable. On September 14, 2001, there was a worldwide prayer for peace that involved many beloved public figures and was broadcast on all major television stations around the world. Millions and millions of people participated in this global meditation. Amazingly, during this exact time, the graphs showed a huge effect in the opposite direction from where they went in 9/11. On the 14th of September, there was a special emphasis on such collective spiritual moments, including major organized periods of silence in Europe and America. The picture is compelling. The trend shows a marginally significant decrease steadily opposite to the usual direction. This clearly implies that we can push the flow in both directions, either into more chaos and flickering, in the case of a great tragedy, or greater coherence in the case of a worldwide prayer vigil for peace. When we are at peace, the randomness of the computer circuits becomes even more perfect, perhaps because the flow of electricity is much smoother and more coherent than usual. These effects are completely consistent with the source field data we've discovered in previous chapters, including the Russian pyramid studies. When Obama won the 2008 presidential election, the electrical effects were at least as strong as 9/11, if not stronger. The figure speaks for itself. It appears that the election shows at least as strong an effect as the terror attacks. When Obama was inaugurated, millions of people focused their attention on thoughts of peace. And once again, the graphs decreased substantially, just like they did in the worldwide peace meditation of September 14, 2001. The result is graphically quite striking, with no trend for the first 4 hours of the period, then a very steady trend showing smaller than expected network variance, i.e. network change, for about 12 hours. These decreases in network variance are often associated with occasions that are meditative and celebratory. Dr. Nelson made formal predictions for 17 different global meditations and found a strong positive effect, saying that overall, the odds against such a persistent departure from expectation are about 300 to 1. Brian Williams later added in an additional 39 global meditations to the original body of data they were studying, and although the effect was somewhat smaller, it was still there. The result remains consistent with the hypothesis of a positive, significant effect. My friend Dr. Claude Swanson, an MIT graduate and former applied physics consultant for a variety of government, military, and private corporations, summed it up very nicely in his excellent book, The Synchronized Universe. Our Western culture has taught us that thoughts don't matter. If each one of us goes around each day carrying anger and resentment, the Western belief is that it has no direct effect on the world. As long as we refrain from overt violent actions, the present belief is that no harm will be done to others. But in view of the present evidence, this can no longer be maintained. We are truly tied to one another, and even our thoughts affect one another. James Twyman has led several worldwide synchronized group prayers for peace. Those prayers had measurable effects and even altered the physics of the quantum background and the level of chaos worldwide for a time, as he discovered in the Global Consciousness Project. He observes the following. Conflict in the world is the result of conflict within us. We project that feeling into the world because we are not ready to accept that we are the cause and therefore the solution to that conflict. Thus, wars have raged in the world since the beginning of time because we are not ready to deal with the conflict where it really is, within us.